Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. Once again, I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone in here to the Clay County Corner, where we come to you live in living color on your radio dial, WVFB FM 101.5, Kicks Country, each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, with a rebroadcast this evening at 6 o'clock. So if your neighbors can't listen to us now, tell them that they can tune us in this afternoon, and tell them that... Of course, we've got Mr. Kevin Donaldson coming in the second part of the show again. We're going to do a little update on some of the things going on. And got a very special guest here the first half of the show. Got Mr. Danny Stone here with us this morning, who is with the Fisheries Department of TWRA. And we're going to talk some about fishing, or we may wander off onto a lot of different things. Of course, I hadn't known Danny too long. he did come through the high school when I was out there. And I think you did graduate, didn't you? one of my favorite young men when he was in school, and remained that way through the years. And every so often we try to get him down here to talk a little bit about fishing plus other things. I know he has a very unique job, and he is he's kind of a goodwill person for us too. So that's kind of a word a lot of times they didn't use with the game and fish folks, someone that's spreading goodwill instead of writing tickets. But we're glad to have him here with us this morning. Talk to him a little bit about a lot of different things, and we'll do a little update, like I said, on the virus things, and some other things. We've got some news to talk about, and we'll do all that here in a few minutes. After we'll have to take a little short break here in a little bit. But before we do that, we'd like to thank everyone that makes this show possible here each Thursday morning, especially the Clay Chamber and the three-star folks over that work here, and all the volunteers that help with things, and then also the folks that spend their money to advertise on this show. And with that, we'd like to remind you to spend your money in Clay County. Don't take it all out of town. And you might want to stay here in Clay County even more now that they've got the had to close the road down going over to Walmart, so it's a little bit more aggravating. It'd be easier just to spend your money here in Salina instead of going over there. But with that, we'll take a little short break. We'll be back in a minute, and Danny and I are going to carry on a conversation about, we're not really sure exactly what, we haven't got this all mapped out yet, but we've got, I know, quite a few things that hopefully you'll be interested in, and tell your neighbors. And Diane, also don't forget that we do have our free birthday and anniversary cake we give away each day at the end of the show. And if you want your name on the list, you need to call 243-5574 and speak slowly and clearly into our answering machine, and we'll get your name on the list and put you in the pot for the drawing for that. With that, we'll be back just in a minute.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is. a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, it's an extreme pleasure to be able to come into your home this morning, be it the kitchen where you're having that second or third cup of coffee, or if you're out sitting out on the veranda here in this fresh air and sunshine, which I doubt very few of you are right now, but we're glad to have you here with us. As I said earlier, Danny Stone is here with us. Danny, I'm going to give you a chance to introduce yourself again to everyone, tell them what your official job is, and then we may wander off from that a little bit, but go ahead if you would.
All right, Mr. Watson, I've worked with Tennessee Wildlife, been working with the Michigan on my 41st year, working with the Fisheries Department, run creels there, raised more than I do anything, but been here all my life and been on Dale Holland, Center Hill, and Quail Hole just about all my life.
Okay, one thing, before we get started, like I said, when I worked at the boat dock back early, I guess part of the time you were a high school student, and then you went to work at the fisheries probably before I retired from that job. And I know when you first started this job, you had a very, very interesting job at that time, didn't you? Talk about that a little bit.
I started in June 1980 running night creel. Get off at 4 o'clock in the morning. I was mostly checking trout fishing. Trout fishing was a great big thing back then, you remember? And of course, you used to fish for them a lot off the end of the dock and had some good nights, and that's what I started at, but I've, you know.
And a name, Mr. Delano Copeland.
Yeah. Mr. Delano, I worked with him. Of course, he's gone now, and but I worked with some fine people and got to know a whole lot of people.
And, you know, just exactly what did you do then, Danny?
I was going just interviewing the fishermen, you know, finding out what they caught, how much time they spent, you know, how much money they spent around the area, and just getting information, you know, from the fishermen and the tourists here.
Okay, now, going on down a little bit further to where we're at now, I know you are, like I said earlier, you're kind of a goodwill person. I do know that if you come up and somebody's got a whole boatload of fish, they're in trouble just like they would with any game and fish person. But as you said, you kind of interview the folks that are here on this lake, don't you?
If I come up on somebody that's got a illegal fish in a boat, I've explained to them what the laws are and ask them to turn them back. And if they turn them back, we go off and everything's fine. If they don't, then I have to call somebody else to come take care of it.
Okay, and when you said, you know, you talk to those folks and interview them, and what are some of the things that you ask folks that?
Well, where they're from, how much money they spent. I ask them about our regulations, if they support what we're doing. Just, I've got a whole list of questions, you know, that we go through. And we kind of know the public's opinion on things when we start setting regulations.
Okay, now do you compile the answers to those things? You got your notebook where you...
They do that at the office, and then Nashville goes over it all, and that's how that goes.
Okay, now looking at that, some of the favorable things that they say about our lake.
About 85% of the people thinks it's the greatest place they've ever been. They're just crazy about Bell Hollow, maybe more than that. You'll always have some people, I don't care if they go catch 10 5-pounders a day, they're mad because all of them was 5-pounders and they want to catch a 2-pounder. I mean, you can't satisfy 100% of the people regardless of anything you do, but we feel like, and the people that feel like it's been here, everything is in really good shape.
Okay, and another one, the amount of money they spend, does that surprise you sometimes?
Lots. At one time, I've not read it lately, but we was the biggest sales of license in the state of Tennessee around Dale Harbor, non-resident fishing license. And I've not read that lately. I would say it's still that way.
Okay, now looking at something there, on the fishing license here in the state of Tennessee, of course, I haven't had to buy a fishing license for a year or two, and I don't know, do they still issue us old folks a license?
Yeah.
Or we just show them?
No, you've got to buy one time.
I bought mine, but I can't find it. I got to get mine replaced, I guess.
No, it's good for the rest of your
life.
Well,
I can't find it. Since I've quit fishing so much.
Yeah.
But, and the type of license that we have, you know, I think I remember back those years ago that we had reasonable prices for out-of-state license. Have they gone up a whole lot?
Everything's gone up.
I know it has, but it's disproportionately for
right. It's all, you know, very reasonable, you know, and it's about like all other states, you know.
You know, I know, well, like you said, we worked nights, that a lot of the folks went trout fishing, and I think maybe we were one of the few states where I think you could come in and actually buy a trout license by itself.
Right.
And can they still do that, or they?
No, I think you have to have a regular fishing license and a trout license, you know, on top. And that, back, if you remember, in the 70s, and I don't know what year they changed that, about 81 or 82.
Probably.
Somewhere along that.
I think
there.
So, yeah.
Right. They up the trout license because all the trout fishing is put and take, and it's all costs money, you know. And
you're right. They don't reproduce them
now
around here. Yeah, that's why we got the National Fish Hatchery.
Got Stephen Arms up taking care of.
Yeah, taking care of that. And okay, now we were talking earlier about the trout fishing in the lake. And I know do we still have someone that does the night patrol like you did?
No, sir.
So we're not. So that's not really a point of emphasis anymore.
No.
And I was wondering about that because, you know, like I said, I haven't been on the lake at night fishing in years. And I know at one time you'd go up there and we had houseboats tied up against the dam all the way up as far as you could see up the lake with lanterns off the back, you know, fishing down in deep, cold water for the trout. And as we said, the trout is not native here, but we found out that if we stocked them, that they grew to be some pretty good-sized rainbow trout, didn't they?
Yeah, they done well, you know. The lake trout didn't do too well. The oxygen gets bad in the lower end.
What if we still have any of them in here?
I can't prove it, you know.
Yeah.
I'll talk to people. Well, we caught a lake trout, but, you know, I've not seen one.
Right. And I know those things got to be big time.
Right.
And best I remember, that was a really big time daytime fish for
was.
Them. You would see folks come in with those Michigan trolling outfits.
Right.
Where they actually did trolling up out on the Great Lakes for those things.
Right.
And sometimes they would catch maybe a 25-pounder up there, wouldn't they?
Now they're catching, they figured out how to catch walleye and the bass and the crappie and everything out there trolling like that. And that's got to be a real big thing now, trolling for the warm water species.
And are they trolling about the depth that they did?
No. A lot of them right now is trolling from 20 to 32 feet probably. And a lot of those fish are suspending out in minnows in the middle of the lake, and the crappie, the walleye, the bass, everything is, and they're catching lots of them like that.
Well, let's take a little short break. Come back in a minute. We'll be back just in a minute.
Let's face it. We are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Danny, I know we're talking about the fish being suspended in the summertime and the daytime, and I remember back years ago, that basically the only way you could catch a fish in Dale Hollow before the slot thing came in was to go out and troll the old Hottentot in the daytime and try to catch a walleye and occasionally a bass.
You know, you can still do that, and not many people do, but fishing has come so far. These new electronics, now they've got this panoramic or something. You can actually watch a fish hit your baits, and it's unreal how smart the fishermen are now.
Well, you know, to me, that takes a lot of fun out of it. You know, the mystery, to me, it's always been, you know, I like to min a fish when I fish, and, you know, you throw a little old min out there, and he just swims around, the fish comes and gets him. And you set that hook, and you say, well, golly, what have I got this time? And, of course, that's all gone. A lot of that's gone.
Man, it is.
I mean, you know. But let's talk a little bit about, you know, like you said, they get suspended. What happens at nighttime with the largemouth and the smallmouth?
A lot of them come shallow, come back to the grass beds and come things and feed. And, you know, the night fishing on Dale Hollow is unreal, the pressure we have anymore up there. It's probably the pressure all spring through the summer has probably been twice as much as normal, you know, the people just driving past all these other lakes to come here and fish Dale Hollow.
Well, that's something we're proud of right now. But
well, the people, oh, we've got too many people fishing. Of course, that's what it's all about, you know, getting the people to come.
But, you know, if you live here in Salina or on Highway 52, you'll notice that the traffic pattern, we know it's changed because, you know, at one time folks went from over at the crossing at Edmonton, you know, on into Burksville and came down, but now they're hanging that right again and coming through this way, and which we're glad of that, but I know just about any day now if you go up to Pleasant Grove, you're not going to find a good parking place up there, even through the week sometimes now.
It's hard, too. Lots of people here.
And, of course, that still is, right now, it's still public parking. There's no charge of any kind up there this summer. And you can still walk across the swinging bridge, but you can walk all the way around the island out there. It's not as pleasant a walk as it was one time, but it's a beautiful walk even now. And, you know, hopefully one of these days something may happen to that, and it may get developed a little bit again. But we don't know for sure on that. But, Danny, and also we talked about the night fishing. What about the fishing contest this year? I don't know whether you fished any yet.
I about quit. No, they've been doing real well. We're having a FLW Toyota League, or I believe that's what it is this fall, the first time the pros have been here, and they're going to have a tournament this fall. But they've had, I guess, more tournaments than they've had on Dale Hollow, and the weights have been great, and, you know. So fishing's good. I hope it can continue.
You know, I've wondered about another thing. I remember seeing some stuff on it to begin with, and that was the crappie tournament. Is that still ongoing?
I don't know. You know much about that as I do.
You know, I don't know. I saw a flyer somewhere that there was going to be like a family crappie tournament here where you could enter, you know, so many people in the boat and that type thing.
I don't know.
It was some type of regional or national organization was doing it, because I saw that they had
the crappie fishing has exploded, the pressure and everything. And I'll tell you what, we was In the fall, we stocked 67,177 black nose, and we're starting stocking black crappie now, not just black nose, stock 97,329 black crappie. And in the walleye, let me get that in too. We put 126,229 walleye here in May.
And the black nose crappie at total maturity, those things get to be a pretty good sized fish.
They're no different than just a black crappie. They just got a genetic stripe on their nose.
And so size wise, they don't grow any bigger than.
It's the same. And we went years ago to Arkansas and got some of them and brought them here and started raising the ponds where we could tell if stocking would work when we got that genetic black stripe on them. And that's the only reason. People will tell you they're hybrids, all that. They're not. They're just a black crappie with a stripe on their nose.
Okay, and there's a word that you hit, too. That's a bad word for Dale Hall. And have we found any more hybrid striper bass up there in the lake in the past little bit?
I've not seen one. I caught one. I don't know, me and Jeff Roberts fishing a tournament when I caught a 25-pounder. That's been, I guess, 30 years ago, and that's the last one that I've seen.
Well, that's another that doesn't reproduce in it,
right.
in our waters, thank
right.
goodness, because, you know, those things, and muskie. We still got some muskie up there?
Muskie is good, and I'll tell you something we never have talked about. It's right here beside us in the Cumberland River. We have probably the best waters in the southeastern United States to catch a 50-pound striper. And, of course, I live on the banks of the river, and I get to see them yesterday. There was a boat from North Carolina easing up through there, but there's several people now coming and doing that. You know,
I know our love, Mr. Hicks, used to go over there.
Harold used to fish a bunch. I missed him, you know, and, of course,
yeah.
He caught a lot of them.
I know, and there was a place, and you can fish, and I guess you have to have your Kentucky license when you cross the state line in the river.
Yeah.
And that's something else, Danny, the regulations on the Cumberland River. I know here in Salina, the Cumberland River is the headwaters to Cordell Hull Lake.
Cordell Hull restrictions apply to all of it.
And what about when you cross the state line?
Now, that's Kentucky.
Okay, now who is in charge? Is it a TVA or?
No, the Tennessee controls it up to the state line, and Kentucky Fish and Wildlife takes care of it from there. And there's where, you know, on Dale Hollow, all the regulations are the same. But on the Cumberland River, we promoted the striper fishing to make it a trophy striper place. Well, Kentucky wants to promote their trout fishing, so they don't want the stripers. Okay, so they have I believe it's a 5-fish limit, 15 inches in Kentucky, which we have a big protective slot limit on. I believe they got to be 32 or something. I don't even know.
Yeah, I know it's a big fish.
It's a nice one, you know.
Okay, and also there's another thing, too, and that is the building of private boat launching areas. I think, is that allowed once you cross the state line?
Kentucky is different, right? They own down to the water's edge.
Okay.
In Tennessee, the Core Sea bought a strip.
Right,
down.
Right. So since it's not part of a core lake,
right,
that
right,
it is state-controlled,
right.
I guess until you get all the way up to Wolf.
Right, right. They're putting in a bunch of private ramps up in Kentucky and all that. But, you know, that's all, that, of course, that's the Corps of Engineers that control down here in Tennessee. That's who you have to deal with. It's not us.
And, you know, and I noticed, too, a lot of times, like if you go over on the headwaters of Calf Killer over in White County and Warren County, you know, there are lots of little private docks on the little lakes and rivers over there.
It's private, I worked down there 4 or 5 years ago all year, and it is interesting, you know, and on the Great Falls Reservoir. That's, you know, it's a Calf Killer and Collins, and I forget there's another river that comes into it.
We went over the other day to see the falls where they created the falls when they built the. If you haven't been to that,
you need to.
It's a tremendous. It's not a very good walk down among all those
little
rocks.
Little town of Rock Island.
Yeah.
Down there, it's a pretty neat place. You know, now that place gets wild in the big rain. I mean, it'll
Right, I know they have to close it down.
Yeah, I mean, it gets them a mess down there.
Well, you know, and Danny, I know that, you know, a little thing like the private boat lot ramps and things along the river, you know, that is a tremendous selling point to a lot of real estate land over in those areas, and I'm sure that it's not going to be too many years till that becomes above you, that's going to become quite a bit of somebody decides to develop something there, and with your own private little dock. And
that is one thing that makes it the Hollis so great.
Right.
You don't have to look at all those private docks and all that stuff, you know, and that's the same deal here. The Corps wants to protect that, and I'm for it. I mean, I own 570 acres over here on the river, and yeah, it'd make me a lot of money, but I don't want it that way. I'd rather see, you know, just like it is now, in my opinion.
Well, you know, and sometimes we look at, like on the Cumberland River, we remember before the dam was built, some of us do, that land all the way down the river used to be cleared except for the big timber, and you could see down in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know whether it's still an irritation point for some folks where they can't, you know, clear out a little path down through there and get where they can surrender and that type of thing. You know, but I think maybe folks that owned land when the dam was built, farther where they could do things like that. But I know we're extremely proud of the protective measures that are used on Del Hollow Lake, because we are, I think, you know, used to we would say that the water in Del Hollow Lake is actually more pure than it was when they impounded the lake.
It's a beautiful place.
And, you know, it's amazing to see when the folks come in from some of the lakes that they've been on in other states, and they go out there and they look down at water 15 foot deep, and they say, golly, I can see the bottom of the lake here now, 15, 20 foot.
We're getting so many people now here from west of us, which used to didn't happen much. We used to have two or three little groups that come here from the Nashville area, but now lots of West Tennessee, and I mean lots of people from Franklin, Kentucky, out in western Kentucky come here, and just think of the lakes they're driving by to get here to us. So that ought to tell you a little something.
Right, absolutely, because, you know, there are so many lakes between you, and of course, the lakes in and around Nashville are in the urban area, and the crowding of so many people trying to crowd in there, especially during the time we've got right now.
Yeah.
I think a lot of folks see Del Hollow as kind of a zone of safety right now, and hopefully we don't get to the point where that's not true.
It's crowded.
Yeah,
you know.
But you know, I used to say there on some holidays up here you could walk across the lake without getting your feet wet.
Right.
Just stepping on boats to get across.
It's been very, very crowded.
But we enjoy everybody coming by. I hope they keep coming by. I know. But it gives you a good job.
Right.
And also, we want to throw in today that I think tonight is the retirement party for Colonel Moulton. I believe someone told me that for Bill. This is his official retirement party tonight, I think. So I haven't talked to him in a little bit, but I know he's going to come back one of these days here before long now. maybe get him talking with more freedom on some of these things. Used to, he wouldn't talk a whole lot about. But Danny, once again, great to have you here with us, and we'll get you back again here before long. We didn't get too far off subject this morning. I don't know what's wrong with it.
Everything's fine. Everybody enjoy the great outdoors and be careful.
All right. With that, Danny, we'll see you next time around.
Thank you, Mr. Watson.
I'm going to read my birthdays off before I let you get up and make a lot of racket getting out of here. But, celebrating birthdays this past week, I have a little bit of a list here. We'll begin with Ms. Nikki Gass. I think maybe it's her mother or mother-in-law or grandmother-in-law called in to wish her a happy birthday. And also, Miss Lila Watson, her mom and dad like to wish her a happy birthday. And also, Jacob Caulfield celebrated a birthday this past week. Paige Strong celebrated a birthday, I guess. Maybe she's celebrating today. And let's see, over across the street, Teddy Lou and Roger Rulon are celebrating their 42nd wedding anniversary yesterday, I think, with a visit to the doctors, I believe is what they said. But we'd like to wish them a happy anniversary. And also yesterday, Miss Kristen Clemens Rich celebrated a birthday. And then today, Liz Brown called in to wish Candace Birdwell a happy birthday. So happy birthday to her. and also celebrating birthdays, Carolyn Sawyer today, and also Derek Anderson. Does that name sound familiar?
I've heard of him before.
I think Derek is a pretty good fisherman,
isn't
he?
Pretty decent.
Pretty decent.
Had a pretty good trainer, Jerry Arms and Stephen.
Okay, so they trained. Okay. Well, all right. With that, we'll take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a few minutes. Thanks again for being with us, Danny.
You're welcome.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy to use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise. We'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, I'd like to welcome you back here to the second segment of our show here this morning. Once again, I'm extremely glad to see Kevin here for more reasons than one. I know he'd been a little bit under the weather for a few days, and wasn't real sure he's going to be able to be here, but he sent me a message early on, and glad to have him here with us, because this is getting to be kind of something hopefully you folks are anticipating, that we can talk a little bit about the COVID thing and some of the other things going on here in and around the county. And I know he's glad to be here with us this morning.
Absolutely.
And with that, Kevin, where are we branching to this morning? I know probably first off is a COVID update.
I guess we'll, everybody's gotten a habit of us doing it, I would say. Speaking of 19 Clay County cases, we're at 19 and have been revised back to 18. I'm not exactly sure what that means.
I think it means that one of the one that they thought was infected wasn't.
Turned out to be something.
I've heard rumors of somebody telling someone that, hey, that weren't me. I didn't have it.
Well, I was curious to see the number revised downward.
Yeah.
You know, we don't normally see that.
Well, you know, I looked online, and I think what I found online was like 2,982,000, and I think that's been updated to over 3 million now.
Nationwide. Right.
I think I saw that. And I think they hadn't added in that 50,000 new cases from the last count.
Right. Well, speaking of wide, I looked up our statewide numbers earlier, and I'm rounding off here, too. Matter of fact, I went up on at least one of those. But we're at basically in the state of Tennessee now, 56,000 cases, 33,000 recoveries. And that rate continues to be about what it has been. We've been at about two-thirds of folks recovered of the total number of cases, and it's still right around in there. Of course, we're always sorry to say that we're up in well up into the hundreds of people who have died now due to the COVID-19, 685 statewide in Tennessee. And another interesting number, and to show you the effort that's been put forth in that regard, we're getting up close to 1 million people in the state of Tennessee who have been tested. Now, again, lacks a little, but over 950,000 people. Well, we don't know exactly how many people are in Tennessee, but they say probably somewhere between, after everybody's counted, and we'll talk about that here in a minute, too, 6.5 to 7 million people. Well, we're knocking on the door now of one out of every seven people in the state of Tennessee that has been tested or getting into that territory. That's a lot of testing,
it
seems to me. I'm not exactly sure what our local numbers are now. I should have written that number down, but I don't believe we're hardly at one out of every seven people tested in the county. I feel certain in saying that. But by the same token, you know, with far, far fewer numbers than so many of the counties, maybe the need for testing is not nearly as great in Clay County and a lot of the other rural areas. You know, I do remember several weeks ago looking at the numbers for the entire Upper Cumberland area, and we had one of the lowest in infection rates of any area in the state. Of course, now Upper Cumberland cuts a pretty wide swath. That's 14 counties. But it certainly seems that the numbers indicate the more you're out in, I guess, what we still want to call the wide open spaces, the better the chance that you will not be infected. So, and as you and Danny discussed in the first half of the show, Thomas, we've had a lot of folks. We've had a little bit of a migration to Clay County, folks connected with Dale Hollow Lake.
Kevin, I'm looking on here on this map here from them, and it says that we have a total of 20 cases.
20, well, I think I was looking at yesterday's numbers, but they're typically not updated until 2 p.m. in the afternoon. But either way, we're low compared to a lot of places. You know, it's not been that long ago, though, that we were at 6. So, I mean, it's, you know, more testing going on, more positives coming.
Well, you
back.
Know, Kevin, I'm looking down through this thing here now, and I look through, and it looks like that we have Shelby, Davidson, Rutherford, Hamilton, Sumner, Trousdale, Williamson, and Knox that are 2% or above.
Okay.
And that ranges from the low of 2% in Knox, for which is fixing the change up there, I think, from what the news has said in the last little bit, up to, you know, Shelby and Davidson that are both above 20% there. But, you know, you look down through the rest of the state, and most of them are like, you know, a lot of 1%, and quite a few that are still below 1%.
So. And I think that's the number that they're really looking at. I heard that again this morning, that we have so many so many numbers thrown at us, it's hard to know which ones are the most important. They're all important, but you know, they talk a lot about transmission rate now, and today they were talking about wanting the transmission rate to be under one. statewide and nationwide, obviously, too.
But, Kevin, and also looking down, I know, you know, the school thing, it's a hot topic right now. You know, what do we do? And I know we have all kinds of external pressure being placed on the state with, you know, various kind of pushes and pulls from various places. But, you know, that to us that live in these rural areas, we realize that, you know, we haven't had any large gatherings in our county this entire summer and in the entire upper country. We've had a very, very few mass gatherings. And then all at once to bring, here in Clay County, we're talking about bringing as many as, what, 1,100?
I think that's about the enrollment
total
school,
student enrollment.
Yep.
Bringing 1,100 people together. And, you know, it doesn't sound good, does it?
Well, it doesn't to me, and I'll hasten to say that I am not an epidemiologist. I'm not a scientist by any stretch of the imagination, but I just looking at it from a purely a layman standpoint, I'm concerned about it. You know, kids will be kids as well, and you know, you just look at the physical layout of a lot of our classrooms. I don't think that's changed since I was there, and neither one of us will admit how. Well, you were there. You've been there since I have as an educator, but. Wouldn't it almost be impossible to space your desks out 6 feet apart in most classrooms? And I'm just asking that question out of ignorance.
Well, you know, if you walk through most of our classroom, now the high school, the classrooms may be a little bit larger there than a lot of.
Yes,
because
they would be.
Our elementary school was actually built as a podular type setup thing, where the rooms were to be a certain size and be kind of open. For more
three
than,
classrooms,
right,
together,
three classrooms together. And then they, you know, everybody decided that was a bad idea, so they blocked them off. And a lot of those classrooms down there are relatively small. And there's some, you know, some that are fairly good size, but a lot of them are relatively small.
Well, and despite the fact, and I would defer to our educators on this for certain, but you're a former educator. You know, we are one of the smallest counties in the state. There's no doubt about that. We're in the lower 10 in terms of population, but yet Salina K-8 is a big school of its kind. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
We don't play single-A basketball, for example, you know.
I know that, you know, where we have one school that has, what, 700 students, you know, when you go to the metro areas, they've got 40 schools with 700 students in
right.
it. And, but, you know, it's still the same thing. When you gather them together, it don't matter whether there's somebody 2 miles down the road that's got another 700 in it. You're 700 together right there.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and I know there's lots of things that we've talked about, you know, that personal touch. That, you know, years ago when we got to talking about doing remote classrooms, we had a setup we could do that years ago. And one of the things that concerned our teachers the most was, you know, well, I can't touch my students if I teach online. And I think that's still part of the, you know, part of the, I guess, the aura around teaching is that personal contact between student and teacher. And I don't know whether there's anything that replaces that or not.
Well, I'll
a full-time basis.
Right. I'll just say this. I don't envy the decisions that our local school officials or state school officials are going to have to make, and we just hope that the best decisions are able to be made.
You know, and I know it's getting close to time where we can get the director on here, but I've kind of put that off because kind of waiting to see, because there's so much up in the air right now that, you know, we still can't get any type of real good definite outlook. I know there's plans in place of, you know, doing split days. One day all the students do online. The next day, so many of the students will come into the classrooms. And, you know, from the way they're talking is, unless you go in there and completely sanitize that room, really, really and truly, if the students change a room, you really need to sanitize that room if they change a room. And, you know,
a lot of factors.
You know, I don't know how you teach. I don't know how you teach a chemistry class in the same room that you teach an English class in. I mean, you know, and I can't see, you know, especially in the high school level, the students where they have to stay in the same general area all day. You know, there's just so many things there that it's kind of mind-boggling when you get thinking about it that we've always taken for granted.
Well, what's that old saying? It's got a lot of moving parts, and it certainly does. And something tied to that, Thomas, and I know we're probably up against a commercial break
here.
Yeah,
here in a second.
TSSAA, we'll talk about that.
All right, let's take a little short break, and we'll come back. I've got
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Kevin, I know we did just a little glimpse out there and threw out TSSAA, and yesterday they were supposed to have this groundbreaking meeting yesterday where they were going to decide on how we're going to handle football season this year.
Football and girls soccer,
in
particular, and we had talked some about that. I guess that was last week. The weeks are running together on me now, and different scheduling plans, contingency plans that they had worked out for football, which included as few as 7 regular season games and, you know, shortened postseason, which I'm for that. I'll hold my hand up even though nobody said we've got too many playoffs now, but that's neither here nor there. That's not what we're talking about. But they had set a meeting for yesterday, and that meeting was held on Wednesday, July 8th. And I'm just reading from a news release, and I say you've got your computer on it as well. To discuss plans for upcoming football and girls soccer seasons due to the extended COVID-19 state of emergency, which will expire on August 29th. Of course, under normal circumstances, the football season would already be over. Bernard Childress, who's the executive director of the TSSAA, told the board basically about the status of discussions with the governor's legal counsel. I'm just going to read the quote from Childress straight off there. We're working with the governor's legal counsel, and based on the conversation we're having, we think it is best to delay any vote on a contingency plan. So, I guess we were doing a drum roll up to yesterday's meeting, and they have decided to push that out some. And if you go all the way to the bottom and of that news release, it says the next scheduled meeting for the Board of Control, that's for the TSSAA, will be a classification study session on July 26th. They couldn't have a special call meeting between now and then. But as we were discussing off air, Thomas, as an observer, I would say the fact that they delayed taking any action on those contingency plans would likely, now again, this is just Kevin's opinion, would likely mean that they feel like there may be some traction with the governor's plan, and maybe that they see some hope that August 29 deadline might be lifted for, what are we calling this, contact sports? We kind of joked about what was a contact sport and what wasn't last week. But to me, them delaying that vote means, again, Kevin's opinion only, they see a glimmer of hope that the season might be able to get started closer to the normal time than it would have under any of those contingency plans. Now, that's just Kevin's opinion. How would you see that, Thomas?
I think so, because it's kind of like they did with the basketball tournaments this spring, that they put off trying to make a concrete decision for just as long as they thought it was feasibly possible. And, of course, eventually they did have to make that hard decision. And, I think somewhere along the line, they're going to have to draw the line in the sand and say, we have got to know if we're going to, have high school football and soccer.
Well, again, as we were talking off air a while ago, I saw an interview on TV this morning. I'm quite certain it was the Brentwood High coach, not Brentwood Academy, but Brentwood High. And that's a great big school, as we'd say around here. And I'm pretty sure I distinctly remember him saying, we've got 140 kids that are waiting. 140, that's the number. Well,
That's two total classes here in Clay County.
Well, and that's more than a lot of college programs deal with, but just to show you, I think his point was, we've got a lot of kids that are waiting to see what's going on here, and we really need to start being able to make some kind of plans as to how we're going to approach the season. And, of course, under normal circumstances, the start of the season would be only, about five weeks away from this Friday night, from tomorrow night, week zero, as they call it. I'm sure coaches are having a hard time now, and my thoughts go out to them. Trying to get ready for a season and not knowing what to get ready for.
Well, that number you just threw out to that 140, that's 140 chances of an infected student being there or the entire 140 getting infected by the coaching staff.
Never know which direction it'll come from.
It's just a tremendous number, isn't it?
Well, I'm just going to read this straight off. This is a direct quote from Bernard Childers, the TSSAA director. A direct quote: if we have any chance of having fall sports, we encourage everyone to wear a mask, maintain physical distancing, and wash hands to help everyone reach the goal of getting the numbers down. The return on that investment would be that we do get to have fall sports on time this year. Now, he's not talking about the ball players. He's talking to all the rest of us about that. We all play a part in this, whether it be for sports, which we all love. Has there ever been a more sports-crazed society than the United States of America right now this time? We love it.
We're proving that from the professionals all the way down. We made a big to-do about our Nashville soccer team ahead to Tampa. Well, as soon as they got there, basically they had to load on the bus and come back home, didn't they?
And we're seeing that in some of the NBA and the college football, pretty big numbers, up in the dozens.
Okay, Kevin, did you notice the paragraph down toward the end of this thing? The early afternoon meeting included an update from Executive Director Matthew Gillespie, who shared news from the National Football, National Federation of High School
network about the availability to free Pixalot automated streaming video cameras for their members' school broadcast programs. So schools that don't already have these cameras can have those cameras for live streaming college football.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
It is a big deal. It really is. And I see that magic word in there, free.
Free.
I mean, what's the old saying? You cannot beat free.
That's the price we really like.
Yeah, absolutely, it is.
But, you know, it's such a, I know most of us in March, when we saw some of those numbers that they were throwing out in March, we thought, well, you know, you folks are crazy. This isn't going to happen.
And I thought that. I really did.
How many times have we exceeded those estimates? And, you know, and we keep, some of our folks keep wondering why this has happened. And, you know, all we've got to do to know why it's happened is walk in front of the mirror. The biggest part of it is us and not being careful what we do, where we go. And, you know, we talk about the football. I can kind of see maybe our football games turning into the old tradition we used to have down at the old football field where nobody sits in the seats. We all gather around the football
hang
field.
Hang on the fence hanger.
And we could probably get 6 foot apart and get quite a few people around the football field. So that used to be the biggest tradition, I think the most missed tradition that we had about moving to the bigger football field.
And it was a factor of intimidation for the other team.
Yes, it was.
It was something to run through the gauntlet there onto the field. I know we're getting close here, aren't we?
I'm going to make you pull a number out. Okay. Look like our winner of the cake today, Miss Candace Birdwell. So, Liz, if you will come over by the chamber office and pick up the certificate to get your free ice cream cake, you can take care of that anytime during business hours. They're there. And, Kevin, I think we've got a few more minutes left. Are we about done? If we are, well, I guess we'll have to get off here. Just want to remind folks that we're getting ready to start the process, hopefully sometime in the next few months, of starting the restoration and updating of our windows here in the courthouse. We'll have some more news on that a little bit later.
And respond to the census if you haven't.
Yep. If you ain't sent your paperwork in or if you ain't been online, get it done. And also, I've got my Charlie Daniels T-shirt on today.
I noticed that.
And I think I was in the crowd at the first... One of the first Charlie Daniels volunteer jams that he had, and some of the greatest memories of some of the best music that we've ever heard took place when you went in, when they moved down to Middle Tennessee, and you went in about 7 o'clock, and you got out about 7 o'clock the next morning. So it was a tremendous thing, and I know in his later years, a lot of the patriotic things he's done, and we'll do a little shout-out to him here in Clay, because I know he used to come to Dale Hollow Lake, too, and I know we've had, I think Mr. Cobby Hayes, took him on a fishing trip up here once a few years ago. So, but with that, I guess it's time we kind of shut the doors here and get everything put up in its proper place and wish everyone in Clay County, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And we'll meet you again hopefully here next Thursday morning, 9 o'clock. Tune us in at 6 o'clock this evening on WVFB-FM 101.5 Kicks Country. Till then, good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them, or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.